Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, the Jonathan Taylor
there
Thomas.
Goes the camera, too, on me. There we go. Let me make sure your brightness is exposed. There we go.
And you don't want us being exposed. I'm too bright.
No, we got there, Bob.
I'll be blocking the camera.
Continue your all the good things you're saying about me right now.
Oh, yes. The Jonathan Taylor Thomas of Bob After Dark. Yeah. The Clark Gable, if you will.
Yeah, Clark Gable. I'll take that, too, as well.
Tony Companic himself. Oh, hey there, He almost slipped up there. Companic himself. Oh, hey there, Companic.
Oh, hey there, Bob. My cape and all the turning on the equipment. I didn't put my cape on, but I will drape it over myself here very soon.
It is the Halloween special of Bob After Dark, and we are...
Halloween special. I gotta get that screen on behind you. But Bob, as you bring the show, and I'll do it though. But how have you been?
Oh, good. Weekend update. Had trick or treating on Sunday, like we always do. Me and the Queen of the Night. They do trick or treating for us the Sunday before Halloween every year, and I don't understand why, but that's how it is. And then Saturday, I had two events. Me and you spoke at the Whiting Public Library, so hello to all of our new fans from the Whiting Public Library. And then I was also at the Wheaton Haunted Flea Market, so hello to all of our fans from the Wheaton Haunted Flea Market that's just tuning in for us. And as this episode is live, I just got done speaking at the Maryville Public Library, so hello to all of our fans from the Maryville Public Library.
You came from the Maryville Public Library. I wasn't with you on that, but I was with you for the Whiting Public Library,
yes.
And the week before the Highland Public Library, and the library. Then all those came out great. Thanks for the folks for showing up to hear us talk about ghosts and whatnot. But we also got to thank, we didn't bring this up last week, the Club Cuyahoga event.
Yes, we weren't here on last week. The Sometimes Scaring is Caring event. Just wanted to thank everybody for coming out for that. We raised $250 for Lori's Children's Hospital through Extra Life, so that's pretty amazing.
There you go. $250. And so thanks for everybody that came out to Club Cuyahoga there in East Chicago. Thanks, Club Cuyahoga, for having us. It was an honor to be in such a historic and supposedly haunted building as well. And the vendors and everybody was just fantastic.
It was a great time. We're going to do it again next year.
A spooky evening for a charity.
No more competing in October, though. We're going to do it either in September or November next year.
I mean, there's so much going on.
There's too much going on in October. We're not competing with October anymore.
We're not competing with October. Because as we sit here, Bob, it's the show before Halloween.
It's our Halloween special.
We're going to have ghosts, ghouls, goblins, and more.
Maybe even a murder.
Ooh, what? I didn't know about that.
Vincent Price, House on the Haunted Hill, man.
Maybe even that. But also, as well, I got to reference this. The Veil, Bob.
Is officially at Cling Wrap.
Cling Wrap.
It's thin like cling wrap, and you could see through it.
And when do we... So we're seeing through it. It's cling wrap, and the thinnest it will be...
A couple more days on Halloween on Friday, the Veil will be at its thinnest.
So at midnight, 30th and the 31st, that's when it's at its thinnest.
Yep.
For 24 hours.
24 hours, and then it'll be thinned again come Christmas time.
Okay, so the Veil, for the folks that are fans of the Veil, it's almost thin.
Yes. Yeah. So it's, at least for Bob After Dark terms, it's the thinnest it's going to be for till the holidays.
All right. Well, there, we'll take it there, Bob.
What'd you do during the weekend update from Companic?
I was with you.
Oh, you weren't with me yesterday.
I wasn't with you yesterday. Well, that was Monday.
You weren't with me on Sunday.
I didn't make it to the flea market. I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. It was busy.
I was at the all-night one at one time.
Years ago.
That was a good time. So they do it right out there. But good time.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to turn your TV on because it's bothering me over there. So
All right, and if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we are your weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and weird cryptid stories. We're kind of like those guys you see on TV, except we have a sense of humor, and usually I have a bit where I ask Count Panic about something that Bob After Dark... People can't hear you. It's not the same thing.
You can ask.
Oh, I can't. Okay, so Bob After Dark's all about, you know, legends, lore, supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and of course, Count Panic's favorite Kool-Aid flavor.
Kool-Aid flavor? How about purple?
You mean grape?
Grape!
Yes. And we are celebrating Halloween this month. We are talking to paranormal researchers, and we've had a guest on every week that we've been able to go live. Last week we had, or the first week we had Pat and Rebecca from Ghostly, then we had Jack. We didn't have an episode last week due to technical difficulties, and this week, if you're watching live on the Jed TV...
Oh, there's an announcement on that.
Oh, what's the announcement?
Well, I got to get back to my microphone.
Okay, but if you're watching us live, no, this is not Santa Claus sitting next to me. We have with us our pal Neil from Graveside Paranormal is here with us tonight to round out Paranormal Investigator or Paranormal Researchers Month. And one of the most dedicated people to the craft, I would say, in the area is Neil. And let's give a good hello to him. Hello, Neil. Welcome to Bob After Dark.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
How's it going, sir?
It's going. I can't complain, at least not yet.
That's good. While we are waiting for Count Panic to turn on a TV here, tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us a general idea of who you are.
Well, my name is Neil Gibbons. I am the owner and the founder of Graveside Paranormal Haunted Tours. That's located on the south side of Chicago.
What do you? What kind of tours do you give?
We give up to a 4 to 4.5 hour tour on Fridays and Saturday nights, mainly in October because that's our big spooky season. Everybody loves it. We take you to many different locations. We start off at a place that I love, 115 Bourbon Street. They're a great sponsor to us, so I always have to reach out to them and say thank you.
Yep.
We go to bars and restaurants as we go along, but also the great thing about it is we take everybody out to tell you all the stories, starting with the Creeper of St. Casimir Cemetery.
Oh, who's the Creeper of the St. Casimir Cemetery?
Well, you know, Bob, we got to sell tickets.
I don't know if you know this. I understand, Neil, but you can't just drop a name like the Cashmere
Creeper.
Creeper
of St. Casimir. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, only for you, Bob. Now, only for you, my friend. I guess I'm giving everybody a discount.
Okay,
today.
just one. Everybody gets one, Neil.
All right, I'll tell you what. Okay. Creeper of St. Casimir is, people think, well, let's give a description of him.
Yeah.
He's a tall, lengthy man, very disheveled, who walks on the outside perimeter fence of St. Casimir Cemetery that's located on 111th between Pulaski and Cicero Avenue. And he looks and he longs and stares at people as they drive past.
Mm.
Could this person have a connection to Resurrection Mary?
Well, can it?
Maybe so. There's a lot of storyline that goes that he might be actually the father of Resurrection Mary.
The father?
The father of Resurrection
Mary. Looking
for
his daughter, huh?
Looking for his daughter, yes. That's one of the storylines of Resurrection Mary. And there's more than one of our women out there that is believed to be Resurrection Mary. So could our stories really start off at St. Casimir Cemetery that's located off 111th and Pulaski Avenue?
Mm, look at you. How much time have you put into the Resurrection Mary
story? Oh, my God, dude. So, man, and every year I learn something new. You really do. Like, sure. I learned something new again this year from, you know, you go back to your research and you reread and you reread. And then you go off other people's research and you reread. Because everybody, just so everybody knows, is that everybody has their own theories about this. And everybody's welcome to that. There is no exact. There really isn't. But I do love it because stories are told throughout time, and they change up. And I give everybody that chance. You know, go ahead and think what you're going to think about the Resurrection Mary story. But throughout the night, in the end, that's the last story of the day, and I blend it all together. and I give you my opinion of what I really truly believe Resurrection Mary truly is.
Now that he won't tell you. You have to take the bus.
You gotta buy a ticket. By the way, Bob's going to be with me this Saturday night for the Day of the Dead.
Yes, tour. I will be there for the Day of the Dead tour. I'll be there so you guys can see me out on the bus, the Graveside Paranormal tour, which we'll get to. We'll talk about that later. But the best, what's up?
I am back. So the announcement I got to make. Of course, you're hearing us live on the radio. Are you going to listen to this podcast platforms all over? But we're now on YouTube.
Oh, that's new.
So this I didn't tell you about this.
No,
so
you
this
didn't.
This is breaking news.
This
Neil,
is breaking news.
We're breaking ground here is what
Man,
we're doing.
Man, and I'm here.
And you're here. So WJOB on YouTube. Just hit it, WJOB on the YouTube. Then hit the WJOB page. And we should be on there right now live so you can watch us. Easier than ever now to watch what's happening in the studio on WJLB's YouTube page. So, Bob, what a time to be alive. They said it couldn't be done, but we're doing it.
Man lands on the moon.
Bob lands on YouTube.
I land on YouTube.
How about
Man lands on moon. Bob, YouTube. Story at three.
Also, if you're watching live or listening live, it is the pre-Halloween, or it's the Halloween episode.
This is the Halloween episode.
219-845-1100, 219-845-1100. Stick to the end of the show. Bob will be listing out the trick-or-treat schedule for a different community.
Do we have the trick-or-treat schedule?
I can pull it up, Bob.
If you pull it up, I will legitimately go through I'll go through a couple cities.
Well, you gotta do the whole region.
I'll do the whole region. All 500 cities that are included in the region.
I'll see. We could guess what times are people.
Give kids the wrong time. Did you know that in Whiting, you could go trick-or-treating from 8 p.m. till midnight?
There you go.
Don't do that.
Well, it's like the snow.
Bring out your Barbasol and eggs, kids. We're going to have a good time.
It's like the snow days. You turn it to the radio and the trick-or-treat hours as well. Now people find it online, but it's cooler to hear it on the radio. And to Neil as well, you got to go on one of these tours. I mean, it's just fantastic. You learn so much. And it's a beautiful bus, by the way.
Thank you.
I mean, did you build that yourself?
Did I build it? So, you know what? So this is our 10th anniversary, right?
Nice.
Originally, when I started this, we used a old prison bus. Nice. And it was all converted. It was a prison bus that was converted into a party bus. And I found this bus.
I didn't even know this. Yeah, this is cool.
So I have a video that I'm putting out at the end of all of our tours to show the history of Graveside Paranormal. And shows the original bus that we used. This guy, he lived in Indiana, actually. He took this prison bus and made it into this party bus. And there were poles on it. You know, like if you're going to go out and go, you got your pole dancers.
PG-13 yeah. Show.
PG-13. He'll calm down.
It's after 9.
So what it was is we put people in the buses. I actually had characters who would come up on the buses. Like, I had a Resurrection Mary that showed up at Chet's Melly Lounge. What I would do is I would have all the people get off the bus, and this girl, I paid her to get on the bus and just sit there like this, and would freak out everybody.
That's nice.
So I would have characters on the buses at some of the stops in the original tours. Yeah, it was a good time. But we had an old prison bus. It was all converted. Good time, but the guy was just, after a while, he just was getting popular, and he just was asking too much, and I said, nah, I'm moving on.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. I didn't even know that. So you started on a prison bus.
We started on a prison bus. Yeah, it was interesting. I remember going to Chet's Melly Lounge, and it was the first time I ever met, like, the Booth Brothers. They probably don't even remember me, right? And they were with Ursula, actually. And Ursula, that was the first time I was meeting her as well. And I was at Chet's Melly Lounge. She was doing her thing. I was respecting, you know, that she was doing her storyline with everybody. I was going to do my storyline. And then she saw this bus, and they all went on. They're like, "This, what the heck is this?" And I was like this. I said, "Hey, this is my prison bus, man." Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But that's how all of it started. It's amazing.
It's a beautiful bus. And, you know, you kind of just want to stay on it even after tour is done.
Oh, yeah.
Take a nap or something.
Yeah, so what we have on there, it's a nice limousine bus. We have on there videos, music. Now, when we take you on this thing, I've investigated each and every one of these places that we're going to go to. And I'll show you evidence. Like, take, for instance, you and I are going to Archer Woods Cemetery, yep. Right? We're going to be doing the Estes method.
Yes.
This place here is known for a whole bunch of shadow people, ladies and gentlemen. I will show you the evidence on the bus. this place here, for whatever reason, has a ton of shadow people. I believe it's because it's probably lost souls. I also believe it's because, due to environment, I believe that a transparent spirit that, you know, has a see-through. Sometimes, if the element changes, I think they take on a darker form, maybe. And because that area is Archer Avenue, supernatural ley lines, could a lot of this be activated because of these supernatural ley lines?
That's possible. I mean, that's what I believe. The most of Archer Avenue is, well, it is just one giant ley line. It used to be a trading line in Native Americans. They would use it to trade with the French. I believe that the entirety, especially Chet's, is just one big bus stop for the paranormal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just come and go. Like the Roth House, I was just talking to John about that over the last week when I was doing my investigation there. I was like, this place isn't haunted by just one entity. This thing, there's things come and go, and I believe that's what we have going on at Archer Avenue, is just this extra paranormal superhighway.
Yeah, and I explain it like this, and I'll explain it to people on the Saturday that are going to get a recap, is that think of it as like a faucet. And when the environment changes, is that the faucet might be turned on, just a little bit of dribble of water, supernatural comes out, okay?
Yeah.
On a day that the day is just right, the elements are just right, the environment's just right, the right people, that faucet is turned on all the way, brother. And that's why we start getting a lot of the supernatural activity. That's my theory on it.
Yeah.
Is it has to definitely deal with the environment. Because take, for instance, Monk's Castle. That's a portal haunting.
Yeah.
And I believe if the environment's just right, these types of hauntings do happen. I tell people when they get on the bus with it, take pictures all day long. We get a weird thing that happens when we talk at the back end of Bachelor's Grove.
Yeah.
I turn out all the lights in the bus. I tell people to take pictures of your boo buddy that's closest to the window. For whatever, and we have proof of this, of faces showing up in the windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chicago is unbelievable of the supernatural and the paranormal. And I'm not knocking any other city, but we got ours, man. We got ours.
Oh, we do. And, you know, the surrounding burbs is just full of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What the story is specifically, my big one, when we were at the Archer Woods Cemetery last year, do you remember that figure that went sprinting through our crowd, our group?
Yeah.
And people thought it was somebody trying to rob us, and the shadow literally sprinted into our group.
We had two of them running side by side, caught on camera.
Yeah.
We have that. I was going to show that on Saturday night. We had them. We had a picture of you.
Yeah.
Where you were touching the Anahata or something like that. I have that on file as well.
Yeah.
And there, something showed up in your area. Whatever is going on in that area, we get a lot of these. Like when we went to go to the tour, it was on the day that you were doing a tour with me, actually. When I'm talking to people, I actually saw these things in that inner circle. And I'm like, this, don't say anything, Neil, because you don't know your customers if they're all of a sudden going to freak out and start running all over the place. You don't know.
No.
So I just remained quiet and just followed through with the storyline. You know, it's not like my first shadow person, so, you know, but I saw this thing. And I was like, oh my.
Well, that was when the thing ran through, and then the one guy wanted to go to use the bathroom. I'm like, you're not going to the bathroom in a cemetery, pal. We're not letting that happen today.
Just so you know, on this bus that we have a bathroom on
the
bus.
Oh, look how fancy we've upgraded.
I'm getting fancier from a prison bus to a different bus. Now we got the bathroom bus.
Oh, that's excellent. That's good news.
Yeah.
You figure a school bus doesn't have a bathroom. This is a luxury bus here.
This is a luxury
bus. With a bathroom.
Man, I make the best for my customers, dude. Yeah.
Very comfortable.
You got it. I believe in putting out that best product. You
music
have
is
the
playing
best.
And everything.
Oh, yeah. You got to have the music. You got to have videos.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking about the history of paranormal researchers, and so we need to go back to Neil's ancient age of young. So about 150 years ago, Neil.
Oh, Lord. All right, go ahead, Bob.
Back in the day, Neil, when you guys were investigating with sticks.
Yeah.
I'm joking, of course. Neil and I have a very good friendship, everybody. Trust me. Yes, this is just us ribbing. It's fine.
Yes.
But, Neil, so when you were younger, you used to – the paranormal just kind of came to you, right? You weren't looking for it.
No, I wasn't. I didn't even know about paranormal or supernatural. I didn't know. The only thing I knew when I was a kid was G.I. Joe.
Sure.
You know, and what happened was is – and I tell this story because it's a very true story. And I bring it up because I like to talk about angels and demons.
Sure.
I'm a very positive person.
Yes.
I'm silly and I like to talk, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, and I like to have fun and joke. But what happened was how I got into it is my mom and dad were going through a horrible divorce. I grew up on the south side of Chicago in a place called Mount Greenwood. And my mom and dad were going through a horrible divorce, and my dad left. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, every night, about 2 or 3 o'clock at night, my mom would start waking up screaming at the top of her lungs. Now, we didn't know what was going on. And when I went in there to go shake her, she didn't know that this was going on. And so what happened was is after some time, and this started to become like clockwork, so I started waking up around that time, right? Mm-hmm. So I look in the hallway, and there's this small, impish-looking creature. And it stares at me and smiles and then looks at my mom's room, smiles, and looks back at me one more time, and then proceeds to go in my mom's room, where therein, after that, she begins to scream. I was scared to death. After that happened, I started just, not at the age of 7, as I started progress, because it was always on my mind.
Yeah.
I started listening to things and reading books and listening to Coast AM with Art Bell back in the day. I used to really start getting myself really into the paranormal and supernatural. Yeah. Not like the full-time basis where I'm at it now, but it was an interest.
Yeah.
So I remember reading a book about angels and demons and listening to a couple people, and I started learning about how alcohol, drugs, and depression, and this and that. And understand, ladies, now I'm not going on a soapbox. You do what you do in life. But it becomes very real. When you do these things, you are, and you're doing it in excess, and you constantly do this, you're opening up a very heavy door of your life, your life. And that life door, the wider it gets to be open, you're allowing these things to come in, it gets harder and harder, and that door becomes heavier and heavier to close.
Yeah.
You never notice this. It's your family members who notice the change in you. People call it a possession. People call it an attachment. If they want to use the word, hey, they got a demon or something like that, fine. But what I could tell you is when we let our defenses down in life, we let these things enter in our lives, and they start to dictate our lives. If we don't recognize it quick enough, it could dictate our whole life.
Yeah.
And then it could also become generational. And when it becomes generational, because I learned from my mom and dad. You learned from your mom and dad, right?
Yeah.
From the acts that they do in life. So we continue those on into the next generation. If we can't stop that, these things will start to inhabit the next generation as well. I'm a big believer of that.
Yeah.
So.
What did you think that figure was that you saw in your house, like now that you've gone through and you've researched, because you haven't seen it since, right?
No. All right, so I'll get to that. I believe it was an imp.
Okay.
Now, usually they come in threes. Imps usually come in threes. I didn't see two other ones running around, but usually they're supposed to come in threes. That's my belief that's what it was at the time, is that they were imps. And what they do is they cause disorder in your life. They're supposedly a lower class demon. And understand something, I'm not big into demons, and so I'm not a demonologist. It's not me. But after reading some things, I believe it was what they call an imp. And these imps are going to cause disorder in your lives or other people's lives in your household. Weird fact, the cemetery that I lived right behind a cemetery called Mount Olivet Cemetery. Me and my buddy were flipping the fence because we used to go in at night.
Yeah. As one does.
As one does. No, right. I did. I used to jog in a cemetery at night, almost every night, by myself. But I know it sounds odd to some people, but it was to me, it was relaxing. It was my quiet spot. It was what I did, you know? And I saw with my buddy, once again, that same impish-looking creature.
No kidding.
At the gates of Mount Olivet. Now, we're looking, and this, you know those sticks that they put in the ground to mark where the marker is, where they're going to dig? This thing's tapping it on the ground, slowly, and it's tapping and tapping and tapping. And my buddy goes, let's move closer. I go, okay. And he goes like this. He goes, come on. And then as we get closer, it starts going tapping more and more and faster and faster and faster. And I said, I'm out of here, dude. I go, they got me. I go, they got me. I ain't going to lie to people. I wasn't some brave soul that was going to go over there and say, hey, excuse me, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
No, what happened was I jumped the fence. I went home. He goes, oh, you big sissy boy. And I said, I'll be a sissy boy all day long.
Did your friend go and talk to the demon or
no?
The imp?
He followed me.
I don't want him.
Yeah.
He calling you the sissy
boy. Yeah, he was only two steps behind, dude. So it was about the same size. And when I saw that, because I think I was about 12 or 13 years of age at the time. And when I saw that, that's the first thing I thought of is that's the damn same thing that was in my house.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was weird. I think we were doing this at like after midnight. We were hanging out in the cemetery.
So you've seen two of these at this point, but you haven't seen the third one don't think you have.
You know, actually, you bring up a very good point. I haven't come into my life where I've seen a third one, no. And I didn't think about that till you just said that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, if the imp theory is correct, which, you know, usually they do come in threes, and if you've already seen two, who's to say that you're not going to see the third, or that you've already seen it and you're not even realizing it? You are one of the leading experts in Chicago on shadow people. Who's to say that none of these things are what, you know,
yeah,
one of these times?
I wouldn't say I'm an expert, to be honest with you.
You're catching more of them than most people catch in a lifetime investigation.
I'm going to tell you something, and it's not, and I'm not trying to blow myself up, is I have been, and I use the word blessed, of the evidence that I have found doing what I do.
Yeah.
Me and you met Larry, yeah, right? We were out shooting something for a group of people this year in January, right? We go out there, I'm helping along. I'm just there to help people, right? Help shoot this thing. We stay at this Airbnb. Little did they know what they rented. We go in there. This house is haunted. I felt it right away, man. Larry, there was this hot tub, and I said, dude, I'm going to bed. I go, I'm tired. We've been driving all day, man. So I go to bed, and I knew that there was something. But I didn't care because I just want to go to bed, man.
Yeah.
I've always been like that. If I'm going to sleep, don't bother me, dude.
Don't bother me.
Don't bother me. I don't care what you are. So he wakes up. We wake up the next day. He goes, dude, I saw a shadow walking around while I was in the hot tub. And I was yelling at him, going, hey, I see you. And we went out to this place that was a canal or something like that, a little river den where supposedly some murder happened. And we went in there, and when we went back to the house to start filming again, and they wanted to use the Anahata box, these shadow people were coming out of the ceiling. Dude, I'm not lying to you. The one girl I was working with, she ran off because she started freaking out, man. And I would too. And I look around and I see a shadow head coming down from the ceiling like this. I see one going down. You hear footsteps. And I'm thinking to myself, what? This is the Airbnb. This should be the subject. You know? Man, it was a weird, weird house too, man. Like they had beds all over the place like if it was a crackhead house. You know, it's like a Harley Davidson. I don't know. Some gang lived in there and they rented out Airbnb. But, dude, something was going on in this house where all these shadow people – dude, it was unbelievable. I tell that story, and I refer back to Larry about it. I said, man, people didn't know that they were renting an Airbnb haunted house. It was freaking weird, man.
But, no, you know, investigators, we can go our entire life without finding one bit of evidence. But here's Neil taking a random bus full of people to a random cemetery on the south side, and he gets mentioned on Coast to Coast AM, which, by the way, congratulations.
Thanks.
I know it's been a couple of years since that happened, but it's still pretty cool whenever I go back and I get... Because I always brush up on my research before I take one of your tours, right?
Right.
And it's always funny whenever I go back and look for, like, whatever story, I always find the Tim Banal article about you on the South Side finding shadow people. And it's like, come on, Neil, save some for the rest of us.
You know, but I explain it to people. So we take about up to about 50 people out into the night.
Right.
And I explain to them, the customers, are getting all my evidence. Majority of my evidence when we do these tours, that is. They get majority of my evidence. I got 50 investigators out there one night.
Right.
How many people investigating teams do that? And you take them to real haunted areas, all different ones all night long. Somebody's going to catch something.
Yeah.
And like we had it where me and Larry doing Estes a couple weeks ago at Archer Woods, we're on the steps. and he's listened to it, and he keeps screaming, Neil, get out of here. Neil, leave. And everybody's like, Neil, I think we better leave, you know? And it was just odd. He goes, Neil, he goes, it's so weird when, you know, you're hearing, well, for me, I keep hearing my name being called. But I get it all the time out of the Anahata, right?
Yeah.
So wherever we go, and once again, I'm not trying to build myself up to be something because I'm not. We do get this evidence. And we talk about the mirror zones.
Yeah.
The reverse at that Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. And at the end, remind me to put in a little quick plug to for Bachelor's Grove if I can.
Yeah, of course.
And that Bachelor's Grove, it's very real. People don't realize there is a form of possession that is going on, and I'll explain on the tours, is that there's a form of possession that happens on the grounds there. And these people who were coming and doing this cult-like activity, they've opened up things that are not, you can't close, and they don't know how to close it. Not that I do. But they've opened up things that people get attachments. People who are very, have empath, psychic abilities, are very sensitive. A lot of times they're going to walk home with that attachment. And what happens is, ladies and gentlemen, when you walk home with that attachment, you are taking on something else's characteristics. And your feelings in this and that. Like, you were talking about Pat.
Yeah.
Patrick Harrington. And me, him, and his wife, we all went out to the Lake County Jail, one of your stomping grounds.
Yes.
When we left, only a couple minutes into it, dude, I was getting the feelings of jealousy and hatred. And that was the one that lasted the longest in my body. I think it lasted 2 weeks. Like, I would sit on the couch, and I'd feel like, I'm not like that. It's not my emotion. But when you get these things, emotions, they get tied to, they intertwine with you inside. And you're wondering, why am I feeling this way? You don't, and it's rough, especially when you have a family, to try to, when you have this going on in you,
yeah,
and you're trying to just be yourself.
Right.
And like I've told my wife sometimes, I go, the code word is, I'm just not feeling well. What I do is I go for like long walks, try to get things going in my mind, because people who go into these things and you go into these haunted locations and this and that, and you start taking on these other characteristics, you don't realize that you may have an attachment, and that's why you feel the way that you do, like depression or anger or something like that. It's not something that's going on in your personal life, but it might be an attachment which is triggering you. Because you're not used to that emotion. Does that make sense?
It makes plenty of sense.
Yeah. So you're taking on something else's emotion, and you're not used to it, so you don't know how to deal with that emotion. So at places like that, Lake County Jail is very real. The Crown Point Jail right over there in Lake County. That place is real. And Pat can say whatever he wants. Hey, if you know Pat. Dude, we got a ton of EVPs in there. He wanted to sit with me, and he would say, oh, that had to been someone else's voice. That had to been someone else's. And I'm like, this now, dude. So we got all these EVPs, and it was a good time, but in the end, you could definitely feel these things afterwards.
We have our first caller on the line.
We'll take it live. Oh, 1-9-845-1100. Time out. Let's just do this live here. Let's see if this works.
Yes.
Okay? Hey, caller. Hello.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Hey, John, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good, Bob. How about you guys?
Doing good. Ow, count, that is really loud.
That's the vacuum outside.
Oh!
Somebody's vacuuming the hall.
Oh, my God, Jed? We didn't close the doors. Good job.
Is that Jed vacuuming there, too, or what?
No.
No, he helped by phone, but we thank him once again.
Yeah, well, he's probably sleeping, like you said. But anyway, I found that Club Cayuga very interesting last week, Bob. And
well, thanks for coming out, John. It meant a lot.
I'd like to see Neil out there at the next one. So, Neil, you're I got to be honest with you, it's the first time I've heard of you, and you're a very interesting, interesting guy to listen to. But so, listening to you and your what you're really into and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think how am I going to put this. So are you more subjected to the paranormal finding you more so than you're looking for paranormal, activities or surroundings or whatever? Does
John, I would say I would actually say both. Like I'll go into a place like just doing my regular ordinary day, you know, of going. We'll say like I'll go to a building or something like that, you know, like maybe Navy Pier or something like that. Like I was there the other day. Not that this happened, but I'll hear a voice, but it's always out of my left ear. So these things will happen at any random place. It doesn't happen all the time, no. Does it happen more when I do go to a haunted location? Yes. I'll hear these voices out of my left ear. And one of the things is, all right, take for instance the Sally House, which is in Atchison, Kansas, John. I went there because it was always on my bucket list to go to the Sally House ever since I've watched it on Sightings. And it's a story about supposedly a young girl who died in there that still dwells inside the house and hates men and scratches them, right? So they have actually two very strong entities, and one is definitely stronger than the other. They'll try to get in through the base end of your neck, the back base end of your neck. And what you're going to do is you're going to feel it coming in through your shoulder area, and then you start slowly taking on the characteristics of these things. So it does happen more when I go into a haunted location because it's a haunted location. But things do, I do come across things where all of a sudden I'll feel like, and I was telling my wife and she was making fun of me, is that I'll feel like something walk through you. And she says, that's not real. I said, I go, that's up to you. I go, I've actually had that happen more than once. I'd be out somewhere randomly and all of a sudden it feels like something just walks right through you.
Right.
Yeah. And
that is some spooky stuff. So like your wife, if you and your wife are together and you experience something like that, has she ever come across any encounters of what you're experiencing?
Yeah, actually, I sometimes think that she's actually a lot stronger than I am. It's just she doesn't give herself enough credit on it. She has her own ability, and I always call her my best loyal soldier. The reason why is because she is able to feel people's true intentions. And she comes back to me and she says, oh, Neil, don't trust this person. Don't trust that person. And I always give people a chance. She'll always tell you that I'm that guy who believes in everyone. And a lot of times she's right. All of a sudden someone will just come along and they'll do something. And she said, I told you so, man. So that's like her little superpower, I guess.
Yeah.
She's able to point that stuff out. But she does have her own little thing.
Now, when people go on your tours, you mentioned that some people have seen things out of the ordinary. So they do bring it to your attention, number one?
Yeah. All right. So, like, take, for instance, the back end of Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. And I can't speak enough about how real this place is. It's not the cemetery, John. It's the land that surrounds it. Whatever happened on that land is causing people, I've had it happen, and it happened twice this year, where people, once we get to a place called Gaelic Park, it's a very nice Irish restaurant, that's one of our stops, they want to go home. They get sick or they get a bad headache. And they said, Neil, you're doing a great job, but this isn't for me. And I go like this. I say, hey, I understand. I get it. I go, but I want to make sure you're okay. And they'll get like an Uber. I actually had people more than once get these stabbing pains in their eyes. And they get these really horrible headaches. And these things, like I said, these things are very real that happen in some of these places, John.
Well, that's fascinating. So when they see something and bring it to your attention, is this something new to you, or have you heard of their story possibly before? What they are saying, you know, new to you, and do you investigate it further?
So I don't know if I'll investigate it further. I always keep it in mind, you see, so I kept it in memory, like I'm telling you right now, right? I can't really investigate it further, as in going back out there and wondering if I'm going to get a headache. But what I do is I keep in my mind how many people this has happened to. And so there's, I once I start thinking about that, then I know something's going on. Like I explained, there's no such things as experts in this field. There's only good researchers who notice trends. And when you constantly know a certain trend that's going on, then you're kind of understanding the haunting better. So this has happened more than once. I would say anytime that a trend happens more than three times, you definitely have something going on. Does that make sense, John?
Oh, definitely. And one last question, Chet's Melody Lounge, is that still in existence?
Oh, yeah. That Rich, man, one of my very good friends, Rich, he's the owner. He's the second generation.
I know it from back in, well, I'd never been there, but it's a polka establishment, right?
Yeah.
I've never been in there for polka dance, but it is a Polish establishment, yes. He is Polish. He's just a good guy. He's very welcoming to us. He's very welcoming to all of us. And
well,
his wife, Barb, she always throws this Halloween party. She makes these deviled eggs. Oh, my God. It's bad for me the next day, but I love them.
You know what, Bob? Maybe I could tag along with you guys and we could go there and have a couple gibbets.
Oh, my word. Now you're talking.
No, I don't know if Neil knows what that is, but that's Polish beer. And, you know, we could have a shot of Jezja with that.
Jezja, man. We got to have it.
They won't make it back on the bus.
yeah, that's true, too. But, hey, well, you're very interesting. I really enjoy hearing you, and I'm going to let you guys go so I can continue the show. So thanks, Bob.
Thanks for calling in, John,
as
always.
Thank you, John.
Happy Halloween, John.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, same to you. Same to you.
All right. We got somebody else on the line.
All right. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Good evening.
Halloween miracle. Bob is going to be on the floor. He's speechless.
Hello, Bob.
He's speechless.
Well, weren't you eating Count Chocula earlier today?
Bob, you got to say
hello, Dracula. It's been a while.
How are you, Bob? I like the new setup.
He's watching on YouTube, maybe.
I am. I'm watching on YouTube.
Dracula has YouTube, Bob. Oh,
Count Dracula, man, you're making all the blood rush to his head.
Well, let me say, Dracula.
You're definitely if you go right into these veins right now, you're gonna get all this blood out of his head.
Bob loves Dracula phone calls. What a Halloween treat! The Halloween episode and Dracula calls in, Bob.
Of course, I had to call. So, Bob, who's your musical guest tonight?
Okay.
I mean, you got Dave Letterman right there.
That's a good observation, Neil. Do you ever get Letterman?
No, it's usually Santa, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
You gotta have a top 10 list.
Draco, how have you been?
Oh, I'm great. I'm sitting up, having a big Halloween party at my castle, and I'm finally going to accept some trick-or-treaters this year. I have to find out what the kids like.
Candy, Count Dracula, they like candy.
Oh, candy. Oh, okay. I thought there was, like, apples and toothbrushes and things like that.
They'll be back with the barber saw and the eggs. Yeah. Give them that.
So if I did that, they might TP my castle.
So, Dracula, you don't ever call me without a joke or a top 10 list or something.
I do have a top 10 list, but I have a little something different. I do not have a story, but I do have some fun Halloween riddles for you.
Oh, sure. Whatever you got.
Okay. Let's start with this one. What's red and mushy and found in shark's teeth?
Oh, I don't know. Remains from somebody they ate?
Slow swimmers.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's true.
Where do vampires relax?
Oh, where do vampires relax, Count?
In a bloodbath.
I guess that's true, too.
These are all factual.
These are all facts, Bob. He's not, like, making
a
storyline.
How do you repair a jack-o'-lantern?
You repair a jack-o'-lantern.
You use a pumpkin patch.
These are stuff you should use on the bus tour.
I know. You know, I'm going to go back to this recording, man.
It'll be an honor. All right, next one. How do you tell if someone has a glass eye?
How do you tell?
It comes out in conversation.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry, Count Dracula, I just can't. Every time you call, I just lose it.
I got four more.
You got all the time in the world.
Sweet. Okay. How do you keep a corpse from smelling?
How do you keep a corpse from smelling, Count Dracula?
Cut off his nose.
Why would you take a drink of water right before
you know? I don't know.
Excuse me.
Both of you did.
Cut off his nose.
I'm just waiting for the spit take.
It was close.
It's close, let me tell you.
Okay, why did the ghoul call the morgue?
Why did the ghoul call the morgue, Count Dracula?
To see if they deliver.
Okay. What else you got for me?
I got two more.
Okay.
Two more.
Okay.
What did the werewolf get when he swallowed a clock?
Oh, a wenwolf?
No, ticks.
Obvious, right?
You have to think about that one, don't you?
No, I got it. Trust
okay,
me.
Okay. Okay, last one. Why do spiders spin webs?
Oh, I don't know. Why do spiders spin webs?
Because they can't crochet.
Oh, Lord.
How do you top that, Bob?
Thank you, Count Dracula. I really appreciate it.
You want to hear my top 10 list now?
I would love to hear your top. You can't top the jokes, so I'm sure this is just keep going. It's fine.
Okay. Here's my top 10 terrible movie monsters.
Okay.
Terrible movie monsters. Number 10, Paperclip Demon.
Okay.
Okay.
Number 9, Therapy Kraken. Number 8, The Hangry Witch.
Oh, I don't mind a hangry witch there, yeah.
Number 7, Twerking Bigfoot.
Okay.
Number 6, Mood Swing Mummy. Number 5, The Curse Ranch Dressing.
Oh, no.
Is there such a thing? I don't know.
Number 4, Emoji Gremlins. Number 3, The Unaware Wolf.
All right.
Number 2, The Poltergoose.